Well, before I get started talking about communication, I wanted to start with some feedback from all of you. Can anyone tell me their favorite Bible verse or quote or phrase about communication or speaking with the tongue? Can anyone? Some good Bible verses. Any volunteers? Go ahead.
Speaking the truth in love.
That's what I'm going to talk about. That ties in really well. I ran into a Bible verse recently that I had never noticed before, and I wanted to share that with you. It's Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It confused me the first time I read it, so I read it again. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm not really sure what that means. Am I eating the right fruit? Fruit's supposed to be good for you, right? What fruit have I been eating? I think this verse is a little bit off-putting because it's confusing. It's not easy to tell what it's talking about. But I think the reason it's memorable and maybe powerful is that you give your tongue the power of life and death through your decisions. The decisions for what you say, the conversations you have, and the way you approach those conversations. And I have certainly learned the hard way many times the mistakes that can be made. So I thought today, since I was told that I was going to be talking about candor and communication, that I would share with you some of those lessons that I've learned. Now, I'm a millennial, just barely, and so I started with a big list and I pared it down. Now, I wasn't able to pare it down to three items. I managed to get it to six. So I'm going to talk about the six lessons that I've learned. Can anyone talk about some of the identify some situations where you might have a hard time talking with someone. Conflict situations. Any volunteers? Just shout them out.
When you're angry.
When you're angry, yeah.
Fear.
Yeah, fear is a very powerful emotion, absolutely. When you have trouble communicating, yeah. When you're not getting through, yeah. There's many situations that require careful communication, conflict with a spouse or a child, giving feedback to a teammate, giving honest feedback to your boss, trying to identify and improve your own areas of weakness and be honest with yourself about those. Those are tough situations. So here's the lessons that I've learned about communication. And number one, you have to decide to listen. It's a conscious decision, and it starts with knowing yourself. Ken talked about managing yourself, and I think that's wonderful. You have to understand where you're coming from if you're going to be an honest person and communicate effectively. I don't know if anyone watches Westerns. I really like Western movies. Clint Eastwood had a really good quote. A man's got to know his limitations. I think he said that right before he blew someone away, so maybe it doesn't really tie into adding value to the other people in your life. But the point is, you got to know where you're strong and where you're weak. And so tools like the DISC protocol can help you do that. It's also really important to pay attention to the words that you use in your own head and the words you use with other people. Words have power. I don't know if you've noticed this. I've done a lot of traveling in the last couple weeks. And as you go through an airport, you'll see a lot of people that wear words on their shirts. Pay attention to those sometimes. There's some pretty bizarre words that you run into in an airport. People wear words on their shirt like desolated, spoiled rotten. Those are words that they've decided to bring into their life, and those actually do, I think, have power. So observe the words in your life. Earlier when we introduced ourselves, we used adjectives. What were the adjectives that you heard? The words that you heard in people's lives. Some were a joke, some were serious. If you can't hear the words, you got to find, if you don't know what I'm talking about, take some time for quiet, for devotions, for journaling. I find exercise to be really helpful for this, to recognize what I'm thinking and what I'm saying about myself and other people. Go split wood. Get some of that aggression out if you got some of that going on. And then after you get to know yourself, work to know other people as well. Lesson number two that I've learned the hard way, you also have to desire to understand without getting lazy. You have to decide that the other person that you're dealing with, customer, friend, family member, or just someone you disagree with, is a child of God, because they are. And the minute you get lazy and say, no, I know who this person is, I don't need to engage with them, then you're cutting yourself short. Don't give your tongue the power of death with name calling. Have you ever considered the names that you call other people in your own head? The labels you put on other people? Words like scattered, lazy, arrogant, winner, loser, conservative, liberal. These words have power. So recognize when you're calling people names, because it's short-circuiting your observation. Pay attention to the names you give yourself, the words that you give yourself. Failure, success, undeserving. If you hear those words, maybe you should address that. So the next time you catch names coming out of your head instead of observations, just try and make three observations. And this, again, this is where a DISC tool or something similar can come in handy. How does this person approach conflict with people or with things? What projects does this person really embrace, and what do they never seem to have time for? How does this person gather information, and how do they process it? Do they do that verbally, internally? Where do I come up with my best ideas? Is it with other people or is it by myself? And then what motivates people? What seems to get them fired up? It's fun to watch people come up here and talk, because you can see what fires people up, and it's motivating. Lesson number three, we've got to trust each other. Most of you have probably heard of something called the speed of trust. And the basic idea is if you're working with people you don't trust, you have to double check everything. You have to make sure everything is in order. You have to make sure you're not going to be taken advantage of. That takes a lot of time. It's costly. It's much easier to work with people that you get along with and that you trust, and to be trustworthy. Trust helps teams get through challenges and tackle tough conversations. I'll give you an example. My wife and I are a pretty good team most of the time, and we do a lot of rock climbing together, and we were climbing a long route down in North Carolina called the Mummy and the Daddy. It's about 700 feet tall, so you have to climb it in sections. And when you move apart from each other, often you go around a corner or past a ledge, and you can't see each other. And it's in a big canyon, so the wind is whipping through there, and so you can't talk to each other either. But we had established a way to communicate, even though we couldn't see or hear each other. Once I got to the top of my section, I'd give it three tugs, and she knew I was safe. And then she'd give three tugs to let me know that I could get her set up. And then I'd give her three tugs to tell her that she was safe and she could start moving. And then she'd give me three tugs to say, hey, I'm on the way. And that's all it took, because we trusted each other and we had a way to communicate. I know I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch, so I'm going to cut it a little shorter here. I don't know if most of you have heard of C.S. Lewis. When he wasn't dreaming of Narnia, he was writing about pride, among many other things. And this ties into lesson number four. You need to get over your need to be right. So here's C.S. Lewis's quote that I found really helpful. Pride is the complete anti-God state of mind. You can't be open to what's really going on, the problems you're trying to fix, if you really need to be right more than you need to fix the problem. And I've learned this the hard way. I'm a high C, so I'm in that compliant conscientiousness box, the good, bad, and the ugly. It's the blue box there. And so this need to be right, to do it the right way, is strong in me. And one thing I've learned is, for people like me, if you don't recognize that that is often driving what's going on, you're going to find lots of new and clever ways that other people are wrong. So instead of going and looking for that, try and recognize that in yourself. That's lesson number 5, be honest. Talk about what you see and what you experience from your own perspective. Everyone's heard this before because it really works. Use I statements, because when you use I statements, I see, this is what I noticed, this has been my experience, you're automatically talking from your own perspective. You're not projecting something onto someone else, and you give them the opportunity to trust you. Talk about facts and focus on outcomes. Be collaborative. That's also helpful. And then lesson number 6, be slow to deploy the terrifying power of the tongue. It will get you in trouble. How many of you have heard, if you're angry, just count to 10? Anyone heard that? I remember when I learned this, because this was a long time ago when we lived in Iowa. We went for ice cream at J-Dub's grocery store. And while we were eating our soft serve, on the table there was a little plaque that said, hey, you know, do a better job dealing with your anger. Here's how you do it. When you're angry, you count to 10 before you say anything. So that's a good idea. And then a couple days later, I was doing something, and all at once, my dad turned around, and I heard him mumbling under his breath, 1, 2, 3. So I knew I had made him angry. But it works. I don't know about you, but my judgment suffers when I'm upset. If I am offended or angry, I'm not thinking clearly, that's for sure. So I have to take that time. Some people have an incredible ability to address a problem rationally and clearly and communicate effectively, even when they're really angry. I am not one of those people. My wife is, but I'm not. So that's it. Those are the 6 hard-earned lessons that I've learned to communicate better. Hopefully you find something useful in there, and I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.